All right, let's take our Bibles once again and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to just take up the next few verses where I left off. We had looked at this passage and we started in verse 6 where the Apostle Paul exhorted the believers at Corinth that they receive not the grace of God in vain. That don't hear what had been stated in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He said, don't hear that and turn from it. Turn back from it. Don't receive it in vain. Don't in an empty way. And the reason to not receive it in vain is because who is the foundation of God's grace? The Lord Jesus Christ, according to God's will and purpose, he who accomplished the work as the God-man mediator. It was the scripture said, verse 2, I heard thee in a time accepted. God the Father has been the one that heard the eternal surety himself. Don't receive him. Don't receive the message of him in vain. Don't hear him in vain who is the surety and the only Savior of the sheep. The scripture says, don't receive that in vain because, beloved, now is the accepted time. Right now. Now is the day of salvation. So knowing the exhortation, don't hear God's word vainly, in an empty way, in a loose way. Paul said concerning the message and now the messengers concerning this glorious message, he's going to give some exhortation concerning the attitude. Especially he's speaking of God's preachers, but all believers. We're all in the ministry. I'm going to mention that in just a second. But we're all unworthy sinners, and we're living in a world who, because of sin, because of a carnal heart, hates the message of God's sovereign grace because they hate God. The carnal mind is enmity. It's against God. It's not subject. It's not in subjection to the word of God, will of God. Neither indeed can be. So Paul is going to give us some truth here concerning how we're to walk in this world, how the attitude that believers, they ought to have. What kind of an attitude? He says in verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now listen. Oh, may the Lord teach me this. You know, as redeemed and regenerated vessels of God's mercy, we are to strive to walk in such a way to avoid actions and words, any conduct that would give men a factual reason to reject the gospel. Now listen, men despise the gospel, I know, by nature. But what Paul is saying is, don't you give them a reason to do it. Don't you act or speak in such a way. Be careful. Somebody said, well, I'm just a sinner. I understand that. But listen to the exhortation. We are to adorn this doctrine that we love and preach and hold to. We're going to be falsely accused of many things. But the apostle is warning believers, and for sure, God's preachers. Don't be a stumbling block or a hindrance to the preaching of the truth. Don't be a hindrance to it. But that the ministry be not blamed. This is what Nathan the prophet told David when he sinned with Bathsheba. He said, you've given the enemies of God reason to blaspheme. You've given them reason to do it. Oh, I tell you, I've told you many times, we're all in a fishbowl. You know, and don't let the frailty of our nature, you know, well, I just can't help it. I strive against it, war against it. Verse 4 and 5, but in all things, approving or commending ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Here we're to be striving after for the glory of God and the good of God's people, that the ministry be not blamed. I've said to others before, I say to myself now, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the assembly, for the glory of God, for the peace, for the, you know, be careful, be careful. We are to be commending ourselves as God's sheep, showing forth, being an example. We're all in the ministry. It's a work in which every believer is engaged, whether it's preaching, praying, giving, witnessing, speaking a word of kindness, or faithfully coming and hearing the word of the gospel being preached. Do you realize your very presence is an example? It's an example. And Paul admonishes his hearers. He said, we are to commend ourselves, exhibit, that's the word, exhibit ourselves in much patience, in cheerful and hopeful endurance and continuance. Trials are going to come. The Lord has promised that. They're going to come our way. But when they come, and they will, may we be found in much patience, in large patience, remaining in perseverance, realizing the Lord sent this. Whatever we're going through, He worketh all things. And with that patience, we are to be without murmuring against the Lord who sent it, waiting on Him to accomplish His purpose. All things work together for good. Them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So walk as a believer. That's what he's saying. And especially for God's preachers, ministers, be examples to the flock. In afflictions, that is in pressure, burdens, trouble, in necessities, are the necessary needs. The Lord knows. The scripture says, Matthew 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He says, commending ourselves in distresses. What does that mean? When you don't know where to turn, what do we do? In body or mind, what do we do in these distresses? That's what, when you just don't know what to do. What do you do? Listen to this. Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. My, do I need to remember that. You ever been at a point, somebody said, well, what do you think we ought to do? I don't know. What do you think? Let's trust in the Lord. Do you think he's going to work all things after the counsel of his own will? Well, then let's wait on him. You think he's going to bring it to pass? Paul says, in stripes, stricken, afflicted, imprisonment. How many times were they thrown into prison and jailed for the sake of the gospel? In tumults, in that uncertainty, in labors, pains, and weariness, in watchings. It means sleepiness is what it means, in watching, sleepiness. But spiritually, being awake and to the guarding of the assembly for any error. He said, just be an example. And in fastings, involuntary or involuntary, for the sake or because of the preaching of the gospel. Let me just read this. It said 2 Corinthians 11, just a few pages over. I was reading some of the things that the Spirit of God put Paul through. 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 28. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Here's what he was saying. This is what God Almighty put him through for the sake of God's glory and the good of the church, for the care of the assembly, the care of the church. And Paul says these things that were sent, he was to endure. In that patience and in all those afflictions, that the ministry be not blamed. Oh, the grace of God that keeps his sheep in the midst of trial and tribulation. How often do we need to be reminded of these trials that we're going to suffer? Now we read that, but when we go through them, now we're in the midst of them, and how quickly we take our eyes off of the truth of God's promise. I do. I need to hear this again. I need to be reminded of all these things. So Paul had admonished God's preachers especially, but all of God's people, for the sake of the gospel, show yourselves before others in such a way as to not be an offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, he's going to deal now with the inward, those unseen. This is how he said you are before men. But there's some inward things that we go to. He says in verse 6, I'm going to look at verse 6 here. He said, by pureness or impureness is what he's saying. He said, now here's the way. Pureness, that is before men, before men. He's talking about in modesty and chasteness, cleanness and blamelessness before others. He said, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. He said this, by knowledge, that the ministry be not blamed. Commend yourselves before others. When he says by knowledge, it means by knowledge of the scriptures. Knowledge that comes by prayer and study, by setting forth that which God has revealed in his word. Now we commend ourselves before others by what God has to say. Where do I come up with what I say? When I'm standing right here, I'm going to commend myself before you and everybody that'll see this on the internet, or they'll see this wherever they see it. All right? You're commending yourselves before, you're exhibiting that the ministry be not blamed, you know, with some knowledge. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, make an effort, be diligent to show thyself approved of God, to discharge the duty of the ministry is concerning the approval of God and not of men, is what he's saying. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed before God or men, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly handling the word by teaching correctly what the scriptures has got to say. That's what he's saying. He said, in pureness before men, by knowledge. What I want to say, I want to do it according to what God has to say. By long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And look here. By that long suffering, that is patient submission to injustice or undeserved injuries. I mean, all those things that the Apostle Paul went through, beaten by the Jews, you know, whipped by the Romans and just thrown in prison. You think he deserved that? No, but he said, "You do this with a patient submission to whatever God sends your way. I don't deserve this. Well, maybe you don't. That's not the issue. The issue is that the ministry be not blamed. He said, by that long suffering, by kindness, gentleness, by the Holy Ghost, by the manifestation of the Spirit of God within, by love unfeigned, that is, we're admonished to love our enemies. Especially are we known by our love for the brethren. Paul said, this is that internal heart of a believer. Then he sets forth by the continuing to give no offense that the ministry be not blamed. He said, we're to do so by the word of truth. By the word, you know, we do it by knowledge. I gotta know something before I can say something. He said, you know, verse 7, he said, by the word of truth. What's he saying? Preach it. God's taught you something, now you preach that. You set that forth. The Apostle John declared, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A preacher called of God, he studies this word, ask the Lord for understanding, ask the Lord for some guidance and some instruction. Teach me. And then you do what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, you preach the word. My opinion doesn't matter. I am to take these scriptures just like I'm doing right now. I'm taking this. Here's some exhortations that the Spirit of God gave the Apostle Paul to give to the church at Corinth. He said, now you tell them this. And that what we're doing, what we're saying exactly what God told the Apostle Paul to tell the church at Corinth. I'm going to tell the church at Katy just exactly. This is the attitude. This is the internal and external action or commending before God's people. And then he says in verse 7, he said, by the power of God. It says by the word of truth. Preach it by the power of God. In perfect example of this right here. 1 Thessalonians 1. 5 and 6. The scripture says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, whenever the scriptures, the truth that is taught, is proclaimed, and it's done so in the power of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? When it's blessed by the power of the Spirit of God. When the gospel is not merely heard with the natural ear, but is heard and made clear in the heart of God's people by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Whenever God blesses the message, God's people hear it, their hearts are blessed by it. The elect are called out of darkness, the saints are comforted and established in the truth. God blesses it. I can remember, I'll just be years, religion. Religion, it'll feed your flesh. It really will. But as far as burning your heart with joy, and God's got to do something for you that you can't drum it up. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened unto us the scriptures? God's people are blessed when God blesses the word to them in the power of the Spirit of God. And then also in verse 7, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now when we commend ourselves before others by the armor of righteousness, that is, by the evidence of the gifts and graces of God's Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, meekness, kindness, those graces that are given by the Spirit of God and are actually experienced, and they're exercised by God's sheep. And when it says on the right hand and on the left, that it means really that God's people are thoroughly, completely equipped by God. He said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And then as the apostle speaks in the conclusion of our passage today, he admonishes the saints in their strivings to not give offense in anything, that the minister be not blamed. And then he sets forth that we are to expect to meet. There's a walk before men. There's an inward attitude in the heart of God's people concerning their walk. And then this last part right here is something that we're to expect. This just understand that this is the way it's going to be. We're to walk before others for the glory of God, for the good of God's people, that the ministry be not blamed. But then expect this. In these last three verses, I'm going to look at 8, 9, and 10, just make a couple of comments. It says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now he said this is what you're to expect. Realize this. We're not going to be treated, received, or loved, or regarded by all in the same way. He says in those verses that I just read, he said God's people are either going to be received, verse 8 says, by honor and dishonor. He said either respected for the sake of the gospel or despised for it. It's just no middle of the road. Either men love it or they hate it. He said, by evil report or good report. You'll continue on that first thought right there. You'll be received with a good reputation before men, or you won't. One of the two. It says, as deceivers and yet true. As being a false prophet, now I can tell you this, all men, when they hear this gospel right here, this is not just religious talk. This is the word of God. He said, now you just recognize this. You're either going to be looked at and beheld as being a false prophet or being what you truly are as a true prophet of God. As deceivers and yet true. Those that know and love the gospel of God's grace, they hear the gospel of God's grace and they say that's the truth. And that man preaching that truth is sent of God, he's taught of God, and he's true. Or they're going to hear this gospel and untaught of God, they're going to say, you know what? I've never heard such deception in all my life. He said in verse 9, as unknown and yet well known. As being unknown, as being God's people, the world will look at you if they don't know the truth. And they will absolutely find fault and not recognize you as God's people. Or, he said, they're going to be recognized and loved for who they are in Christ. They'll say, that's one of God's elect. That they their speech gives evidence to who they are. He says, it's dying and behold, we live. As being thought by unbelievers, as being those who certainly will perish under the judgment of God. I told you this one time. I'd been preaching, and I had a man come up to me, and he told me with the most gruesome snarl on his face, he said, God's going to get you. I said, for what? He said, because of what you're preaching. He said, you're nothing but a divider of God's sheep. I said, listen, every one of God's sheep that have been regenerated by the grace of God, they've always been God's sheep, but those that have been regenerated by the grace of God, none of them reject this message. They love it. And I said, the only reason they would reject, you know, a person would, is because if they're not the sheep of God and they die in that state, well, it didn't go over big. But I'm telling you, you will be those, when he says, as dying, that is thought by unbelievers to be those that are surely going to perish. You're going to die because of that message you're preaching. He said, as dying, and behold, Paul says, we live. That is, we're alive in Christ, being loved and redeemed, regenerated, and kept by God's Spirit. He said, it's chastened. Like when I say chastened and not killed, he's saying, continuing the same thought, afflicted and regarded as an object of God's divine displeasure. Whenever the Apostle Paul was on the island of Malta, remember they were, they'd been shipwrecked and they came in and Paul, they were, throwing some wood and a viper came out and got Paul, bit him, hung on his arm, and he said they just stood there and watched him. They said, well, surely he escaped out of the water. Water didn't get him, but God made sure. He sent that snake, and they just watched him, waiting for him to die, and he didn't die. They thought they're, as chastened. They mean chastened, afflicted and regarded as an object of God's displeasure, but he said, but not killed. Afflicted, yes, but we're not cast down or destroyed. Verse 10, he says, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. Looked upon as one always in sorrow and overwhelmed with sorrow. That's how men look at us. It's just, they just don't have any real joy. But he said in reality, always joyful in the Lord. He said, "This you're going to be one or the other, as poor and making many rich." He said, actually, and that word poor there, it actually means beggars. The world equates God's blessing as always prosperity in this world. It's always, it's always, if you're not wealthy, then you're just not blessed of God. You don't have any faith. You know, best way to remedy that is send us a love gift. And we'll, you know, it's poor. You remember the woman that had two mites? That's all she had. And she put that in, and the Lord said she put in more than all of those others. As poor, you know, unblessed of God, but he said, oh, but making many rich. He said, being the instrument to the true riches that are found in Christ. He says, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Again, having nothing of this world's treasures, yet possessing all things that shall endure, being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Can you imagine? I mean, I know what the world says. I do. I understand what they say. If you're blessed of God, you will have everything that you can. But think how many people. All we've read in the scriptures, old blind Bartimaeus. You know, that woman I just mentioned, that Syrophoenician woman. This the world looks upon poverty in this world, but God has been pleased to bless the outcast, the downcast of this world. Child of God, this world is going to end soon. And we're going to stand before God, accepted in the Beloved. The Apostle Paul admonishes us, ever strive, ever seek Him who is our strength. Walk as a believer wherever the Lord has put us, whatever state we're in, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. That this the ministry here, Katie, I'll just pick us right here. I know the reputation. I know the reputation that has been established by this little flock right here, by the grace of God in this community. I understand that. But whatever you do, remember, when you walk in this community, especially here, especially me, all of us, don't give offense. Whatever. Strive to give no offense. Commend yourselves. Commend yourselves. Exhibit yourself that the ministry be not blamed. There's a blessed ministry that's been raised up here. I thank God that He's kept it here. I'm so thankful that we're still here. God has maintained us. And endless is for His glory and all the blessed good, the divine good of His sheep. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts for His glory and our good. Amen. All right.